So today I'm going to share with you from Proverbs. So maybe let's start off with some scripture reading first. All right, shall we all rise again? And let's read. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Well, let us all read together. Second verse. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them. And the third verse, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. And I think this is the last verse. Please be seated. And let's just lift this time of worship before our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you that we have an opportunity to come in here today. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will be among us today. Minister to each one of our hearts. Maybe each one of us come in with different things on our mind, different brokenness, different burden, or their joy that is in our heart. Lord, minister to us. Lift us up. Lift our eye up to see your cross. Lift our eye up to see you. You are our hope, and you are our Savior. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a story first, a story that you may be familiar with. This is a story that has to do with our vision. So long time ago, there was a king. This king has a very peculiar interest. Now, he's not into strategy, war, and armies. He's not into that. He's not even into castles or hunting or horseback riding, for that matter. His interest, it's in fashion. Now, this is a fashionable guy. He loves all kind of beautiful clothing, different patterns, colors. He loves it. So whenever a chance that he gets, he's going to buy new clothes and he's going to show off those clothes. So one day, there's the two swindlers come in to his kingdom, and they pretend to be, probably you know, weavers or fashion designer, if you will. And they were bragging that, well, they made the best fabric there is, all that splendid color, magnificent patterns that you have never seen before. But there's a trick to this clothing. This is a magical one. So if you can see it, you have to be wise to be able to see those colors and patterns. Otherwise, you see nothing. And especially if you're unworthy. If you're unworthy for the position that you're in, you won't be able to see a thing. So as soon as the king hears about this, he's like, wow, I want that. I want that, so I need that clothes, not only of all the magnificent color and whatnot, I'll be able to know who in my kingdom is worthy or not. So he gathers his officials and he say, well, take this sum of money, take this large sum of money and go to this these two fashion designer and tell him I want my royal robe to be ready next month because there's a huge parade. There's an annual parade that they have. So make it happen. So the official hurry and they went and tell him about this royal task that he has. And these two swindlers, they're like, okay, we're on it. So they work all day and night weaving and putting things together and designing. Now, a month passed by and every night they can see the candle is on, the lights it's on, they are working hard. They can hear the sound of the fabric machine and whatnot. So time comes and the king with his officials, they all come into this place and they're like, okay, well, I'm ready. Do you have this magnificent cloth for me? And behold, those two swindlers go, right here, sir. Here is your royal robe. And they look and nobody see a thing. But the thing is this, one of the royal official was like, I can't see a thing. It probably means that I'm unworthy to be the royal official. So he was the first one to step out. Wow, did you see that color? Did you see those patterns? It was amazing. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. This is good. And then all the other officials said, are you sure? but they kind of go, well, this probably means that I'm unworthy or I'm stupid or something. So they all start to echo that. They're going to go, wow, that is the most amazing thing, sir. You've got to see it. You see it, right? And everybody start to go, yeah, oh, wow, that's amazing. So as soon as they start going with that, and the king kind of go, really? Yeah, of course. That's great. Now these two guys, are from now on, they're going to be my royal fashion designer. So come on, let's put it on. I'm ready for the parade. So he takes off his royal robe. He takes off his pants. And he's starting to put on that imaginary one. And the swindler were careful. Was like, well, sir, careful, watch out. And he puts it on and puts it on the sign, puts on his pants. Like, how do I look? Everybody go, amazing, sir, amazing. So it's like, okay, let's go for the parade. And as soon as they march out, everybody go, oh. And everybody know about this magical clothes. So everybody bursts on cheer. Amazing, sir, king, you look splendid. Now, who have heard of this story before? No, really? You may have heard of this story, but you do not know the ending. Because the story didn't end in a child coming in and go, why is the king naked? The story didn't end there. The story keeps on going today. The king's pride never dies. Instead, the king's pride continued to rage on our land. The parade keeps on. Sometimes it's a day in some city, and sometimes it's a whole week in a certain city, with people cheering on the nakedness, the emptiness, because none of them want to accept the nakedness, the brokenness that is being presented. This story may sound like just a children's story to us, but unfortunately, it depicts our society today. As people take off their royal robe, and they put on that lie that Satan has prepared for us to say that you look amazing. Each one of us, as we come before God, there's brokenness in us in some way. Pride is never just between people relationship. Pride is when you put yourself above God. You put your desire and your idea above God's will and His own design. Pride is about vision. What do you see? What can you see? Do you only see yourself, or do you see a bigger picture? The passage that you read, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior. One of the definitions of pride is actually exaltation, lifting up, glory. Sometimes we would use the word, well, I take pride in, fill in the blank. Well, that in itself, it's fine, because God has actually gifted all of us in various ways. We're diverse in certain ways, right? We have our giftings, and we have our strength, and that is good. God has given all of that to us for what? So that we can work for the glory of God. The only problem is this: when we take what God has given you and I, and we turn that focus on ourselves, we want all that glory to come on me. We want all that cheer to come on me. And that's when the problem begins. Because none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But as soon as we try to put on that expectation that, well, I want all that glory, I want to be perfect in front of others, and that's when the problem starting to occur. And that's when we become fake to one another instead of genuine. This is a flaw. This is a flaw partly in our Chinese heritage. We care too much about what? What do you think we care about? Our face. Now, respect is good. The Bible teaches about respect, and respecting one another is important. But if respect turns into just whatever it is, even though it's not true, yeah, it's good, then that is not respect anymore. That is wrong. Pride always affects our vision. It affects our vision. If we have to put up something that we don't want other people to see. We don't want other people to see our brokenness. We don't want to admit our brokenness. We're starting to put up something that is fabricated. We try to fool others. And here this passage reminds us, better to be a nobody. Better to be a nobody, and yet I have a servant, than pretend to be somebody and have no food. A lot of times that saving face thing turns into that. How often do you say things or do you do things? Not because it's true, but because it makes the situation look a little bit better. It makes you look more presentable. We don't have to look into politics or countries to talk about that. Just look at ourselves. When we're genuine, what are some of the things that we're not, but we deceive others? Not only do we deceive others, sometimes if we tell that enough, we're starting to deceive ourselves. And here it reminds us, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence and do not claim a place among his great men. We try to deceive other people of our importance, of what we really have, and then we deceive ourselves as well. Why would that person put himself among the king's great men? Why would he do that? Because he thinks that, well, I'm actually pretty special. I'm pretty important. I deserve a place in here. I got to ask you one question. Who was in, there was a joint mission conference last weekend. Who was there? Nobody? None of us here? Okay, then I can tell you secrets. All right. So I was one of the committee in the joint mission conference, and the thing about the committee is this: they give you this little badge that you put on. Now it's a packed conference. There's over 1,400 people there, so it's packed, and they give you this tiny little badge that you put on, and it writes, you know, staff or worker in there. Now, I don't know if you ever examine yourself. That tiny little badge, it's so powerful. Now, let me tell you what it does. In that parking lot, it's so packed, but with that badge, you actually have a spot reserved for you. In that packed auditorium, it's packed, and you get a front row seat right in front. And with that badge, when you walk around, you got people go, oh, wow, you're one of the staff. People look at you slightly different. Powerful badge, isn't it? The power is not in the badge. The power is actually what it's doing in my heart. When I was holding that badge, I feel lighter. I feel like I have wings. I feel like I have respect. And I ask myself, Lord, forgive me. This tiny little badge is doing all that to me. It's just like one piece of paper, but it's doing all that to me. That is pride. Do you ever examine yourself? Do you examine each day, Lord, of all the things, of all the busyness that I'm going through, what gives me joy? When did I glorify you? When did I glorify myself? When did I feel I'm drawn close to you? When am I pushed away from you? Try that. This is called the prayer of examine. Try it. Because you know what? Reality always exposes. It's better for him to say, well, come up here, you're the VIP, than for him to humiliate you before his noble. Why are you here? You don't belong here. With all that powerful, with all that power that little badge gave me, on the closing night, me as usual on the front row seat. But all of a sudden it's packed because there are so many people. And then we have the whole group of VIPs, the speakers, and all of them came in, and there's not enough seat. Guess who needs to get up and move off somewhere else? I need to get up and move off somewhere else because I'm not the VIP at that point. If I haven't adjusted my own heart before that, I would feel, come on, I'm the worker here. I'm the staff here. I deserve a place. But the Lord already spoke to me. He's already like, what is happening in your heart? You better think about it. You better face it and you better deal with it before I come in and expose you. The reality always exposes. What are the reality that we're facing? Some of our inner struggle. What are the things that you're struggling in your heart? That even though people look at you and you're smiling and you're nice, your family look all intact, what is your inner struggle? What are some of your relationship brokenness that you're struggling with? None of us are perfect. There are things that we're working on in our heart, and God knows that. Do we honestly face it? Do we look at our world of all of the political situation, of all the brokenness? Do we look at our environment? Now, you may go, wow, what a sunny day. It's perfect, right? And you know that in eastern Canada, there's this dome, this heat dome that is covering them. And it's not going away. It's a pattern that is going to come back year after year. What is happening in our world? There's brokenness in our world. Do we pause and say, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us. Or do we let our pride run ahead to kind of go, nope, everything's fine. Everything is fine. Pride always affects your vision, but it also affects your hearing. Do we hear? Do we give ourselves an opportunity to grow and learn? The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Do you listen to advice? Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. To answer before listening, and that is folly and shame. Now, as soon as I read these verses, if someone else come up in your mind, there's high probability that your spouse can go, you never listen. Well, stop elbowing them, okay? Maybe God is speaking to you. Well, what are some of the times that you actually don't want to listen? When is some of the time you close your ears and kind of go, I did that because of this. I did that because of that person say that. I did that because of so and so and so, so on. When is the time that we actually make excuses for all the trouble, all the turmoil that is happening in our life? Do we pause and do we listen? Lord, this is the reality. But we know we should be here. How do we get to there? Lord, what is happening in my life? Prideful people often get angry when they're exposed. When you tell them about the reality, they always get angry. When you try to tell them, well, your situation, they always want to shut you out and point a finger at you. But the problem is not just with one another, as I point out in the beginning. Sometimes pride shut God out. We don't want to listen, and we don't want to even listen to God. Maybe today when you, or not today, anytime, when you read a passage, when you hear a sermon, when you do your devotion, you feel that God is saying something to you. You feel that tug in your heart. God is saying something to me. One of the things that we often say is what? Lord, I'm not ready. Maybe God said, you have to forgive. Lord, I'm not ready. Maybe you have to accept Jesus. I'm not ready. Maybe you have to get baptized. I'm not ready. Maybe you have to reconcile. Well, I'm not ready. But let me ask you this question. Now, do you, any one of your students, when you go into the classroom that day, and then your teacher told that this is exam day, and they tell you, please put away your books and please take out your pencil because today is exam day, which one of you raise up your hand, I'm not ready. I'm not doing it. None, right? How about you workers? Which one of you were late to work, and you go into your office, and your boss come in and kind of go, come on, hurry up, your client is waiting for you. You got to get into that meeting. You would tell him, I'm not ready. I got to have my coffee first. I'm going to settle down first. Which one of you do that? You don't. Why? Because you're not the boss. You're not the teacher. But a lot of times, when we face God, we tell him, I'm not ready. I'm going to determine when I'm going to change and how I'm going to change. A lot of times, we do that. As God works in your heart, he tugs in your heart, it's better to submit. Lord, I'm not ready, but help me, because I know this is something I need to do. How often are we ready? Rarely, right? God doesn't just tell you things that you already know and you're already doing. God gives us challenges so that we can grow. We're never ready, but we tell him, Lord, I'm broken, I know, and I need to grow. Help me. This is way better than when God put you in a situation and when he bound you with four walls so you can never escape, and you're like, okay, fine, I'm changing. That's not called submissive. That's called surrender. Lord, finally, I have nowhere to go. Okay, I'll listen to you. That's not listening. That's because you don't have a choice. When we're in our brokenness, do we turn to wisdom? Do we turn to the source of wisdom and go, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm going to turn to your word. I'm going to follow you. Do we do that? In our society, we always promote taking charge. We promote freedom. We promote, well, I'm in charge. I know. We don't like advice. We don't like advice from people, unless it's from the mighty internet. We don't like advice from teachers. You know, you probably know this, but Trump, Donald Trump, once said, and when asked about his relationship with God, he said, oh, I have great relationship with God, but I don't have to ask for his forgiveness because I don't do a lot of bad things. That's what he said. Proverbs, interestingly, it puts wisdom with humility. It puts what? Pride with foolishness. It puts pride with sin. But it puts humility with life-giving, with wisdom, with God-honoring. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Now, I come across a person. It was a panel discussion. There's a panel of experts in their field, and they were sharing about their field and very specific things. Now, do you think a person who asks question is a humble person? A person who asks question, is that a humble person? Yeah, probably we said no. And we always say there's no stupid question. So a person asks question, we always think is a humble person. And then after this panel of experts, they presented their view on certain things. And as soon as there's an opportunity, there's this individual who shoots his hand up, say, I got a question. And while I said there's no stupid question, but there are different types of questions, okay? So the first type, they're insightful question, the question that really works through an issue and really digs out, get deep into that issue. There's the insightful question. And then the second type, there's the common question. You know, there's things that people always ask. Whenever you talk about that topic, people always ask that. They're the common question. But they're also the third type, which is the substandard question. Now, do you know what substandard questions are? Substandard question is if you're in your university calculus class and you raise up your hand and you look really smart, sir, I don't know why 2 + 2 = 4. I think you made a mistake. Now, doesn't matter how smart you look. That's a substandard question. You can go back to your grade 1 or however grade you teach addition. You got to go back to that because it's a good question, but it's not in this level. That's a substandard question. But there's also the fourth category. They're the questionable question. A problem with problems. Do you know what that is? You've heard of this before. There's the question about, well, I got a question. It's if God is almighty and he can do all things, can he create an object so heavy that he cannot lift up? Now, that's a questionable question. There's conflicting question. We need to distinguish that. So there's this gentleman who shoot up his hand and kind of go, sir, I got a question. And as soon as he asked the question, it was okay. It was more on the common and substandard question. But then what really shows his intention was right after the panel kind of tried to respond to his question, which was, kind of really stand it because that was a really common question. So they answer him. And as soon as he say that, he shoot up his hand again. Actually, I have the answer. Would you like to hear it? Everybody knows. He doesn't want to hear. I think the whole panel, the whole time when there were people presenting, he didn't want to hear a thing. The whole time in front of the panel of experts, he just wanted to share his wisdom to the world. Are we like that? Are we like that when we have hearing problem, we see ourselves so big, all we want is to present. But do we actually slow down and hear and grow and learn? One of the passages, you've read it. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Now, this is not just in the Old Testament. It's not just in Proverbs. But actually, the whole Old Testament, it all climax on one place. And where is that? On the life of Jesus in the New Testament. Now, in the Beatitudes, the first verse is what? Let's see who remembers it. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven, right? Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is the kingdom of, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't stop in Proverbs. It's not just something that you deal with life, but actually it's God's heart. Because your humility, first and foremost, is before God. Are you humble before God? Do you see where you are, where your life is, or do you only see yourself? The Lord tears down the house of the proud. Don't think pride is not a sin. In Proverbs, it points it out. Pride is a sin. And the pride that he talked about is proud before God. I know more. I don't need you. I am self-sufficient. Thank you, God, but I'm doing pretty good. That is pride. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stone. Those who are needy before him, those who cry out to him, Lord, I need you. My boundary, people are pushing me and they're shrinking, but I cannot fight for myself. The Lord sets the boundary stone in place. And the Lord hears those who cry out to him. That's why there's the Beatitude. That's why it's blessed for those who are poor in spirit instead of those who think so highly of themselves, I do not need God. So that's why when you look at our Lord Jesus, he's not just the answer to our problem, but he exemplified this humility. He is the apex of all the passage. He said, Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. You know about this passage from Philippians. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Maybe you look at this passage and you kind of go, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be made nothing. I don't want to take on the nature of a servant. I want to show off myself. But that's what the Bible is teaching us. Don't lift yourself up. Let the host, let the king call you up. Let the king say, you are worthy. Instead of us who's promoting ourselves, saying how great I am, I'm sitting among the king's great men. Let the king extend an invitation to you and say, you are worthy. Look at Jesus' life. When he lay his life down, he said, Lord, take this cup from me, but if it's your will, may it be so. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. He lives out the humble life before us, and he is Lord, our Savior. So the ultimate humility is toward God the Father. It is to say that, Lord, I trust you, and I entrust every aspect of my life to you, and I'm willing to seek you and follow your will. And God honors that. That's, look at the life of Jesus. He's not only our example, he also calls us. He calls us to come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All you who are trying to make a brave face to the world and say everything is fine, but deep down you know not everything is fine. There are some good things going on in your life, but there are brokenness, there are shadows in your life. He said, come to me and take my yoke upon you. What is that yoke? That is the yoke of submitting yourself to God and lifting up his will, seeking his will, seeking his wisdom, and living it out. That is what we are seeking after. So how do you live out the life of humility? The idea of Proverbs is actually, it's accumulative of wisdom of God's people, people who belong to the Lord. And it's not just for one generation. If you look at Proverbs, one of the repeating things, chapter 1 to 9, it keeps talking about what? It keeps talking about, son, listen to the instruction of your father. Follow, treasure it, the teaching of your mother. This is a heritage thing. It's our spiritual heritage. So when you read Proverbs, don't just cherry pick, oh, I like this. This is about finance. I think it's going to help me. Oh, I like this. This is about relationship. I like this. But you have to read the whole thing in its context. Chapter 1 to 9, describe how do you read it. So for young people, over and over again, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, what is the instruction? The instruction is to seek wisdom. To seek wisdom. Are you humble? Are you humble before your parents? Do you listen to them? Or do you go, Mom, I know. Dad, I heard it before. Mom, I know how to do this. Do you humble before one another, before your church, before those who's teaching you, your Sunday school teacher, your counselors, your pastors? Do you humble before them? Or you kind of go, yeah, I know. One of the most prideful in the New Testament is someone you know well. It's the prodigal son. It's the one who turned to his father to kind of go, Dad, your way, it's outdated. I have this new business proposal from my hippie friends, so you need to get this. So just give me my sum, and I'm going to get on with it. Right? And we all know how it ends. We all know the rest of the story. So parents, you'll probably go, yes, teach them. But here's to you. You're not just to pass down what you hope your children grow up to be. You to pass down your mandate is to pass down wisdom and instruction from the Lord so that you cultivate them, so that in their life they know they need to seek wisdom and to live it out. And the way they learn is not only going to be from hearing. The way they learn is going to be from watching you. And they are smart. They know whether you're just talking or whether you're living a prideful life. They know that whether you just kind of go, yep, do this, but in your life you kind of go, Lord, I know better. This ain't going to work. Not in the real world. Not in the business cutthroat environment. They know. Do you dare to say, son, listen to my instruction and follow me as I follow Christ? Or do we bear our head in shame to kind of go, yeah, those are good teaching, but let me show you something else? Do we humble before God and humble before one another, the church, when other people point out our life, our deficiency, when other people expose our brokenness, do we point our fingers at them? Do we shut them out? Do we say, that's it, you're not a loving community, I'm getting out of here? Or do we open our ears and listen and communicate and learn and grow? But lastly, grandparents, I think there are some grandparents among us. Do you know God has put you in a precious position? That spiritual heritage is not only from parents. And I think grandparents has a special place. And that special place, it's you are telling your kids, you know what? Church is not only a junior worship thing. Church is not only a high school youth group thing. Church or faith is with me all through seasons of life. Do we dare to tell them stories of how you've experienced God? Do you dare to tell them stories of how God's grace is on you and how he has protected you and guided you? Or do we focus on stories of how you've worked hard, how you've overcome challenges, how you've sacrificed for them? Do we dare to lift up God's glory in our life and show them? Or do we steal God's glory and only lift up ourselves? Pride and humility, let God dust the invitation. And let God say, yes, you're worthy. Come, come, stand among the great men. Or do we try to put ourselves up? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you because we're all saved by grace and grace alone. And Lord, you have not forgiven us. You have not forget us. But you know each one of us and you call us by name. And for that, that is our identity, Lord. So Lord, bless us and be with us. Continue to work in our life. Open our eyes and open our ears that we can become a beacon of light. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.